good to be back with you all this morning after being away in Albania. And I was sorry to have missed the Pentecost service last week. It sounded like it was a really good service. And it was the beginning also of our membership series, which Wayne reminded us of this morning. And Pastor Wayne reminded us in his sermon last week that the church that was birthed on Pentecost was diverse and filled with beautiful chaos. He challenged us to be open to the wild promptings of the Spirit and to see where those promptings might lead us, even if it might cause a little chaos. I believe the first church members were open to the chaos of the Spirit's movement. The scripture text that Wayne just read for us begins with Peter and John returning to the church community after they had been arrested. Now, I'm thinking that if they hadn't been in cahoots with the Spirit and causing a little bit of chaos, then they probably wouldn't have been arrested. I can just see them coming back, Peter and John rushing to the home where the believers are gathered together, out of breath, walking into the room and saying, "Y'all are never going to believe what just happened." They proceed to tell everyone, "Well, you know, we were just going to the temple to worship and pray as usual, when the crippled man that sits by the temple gates was begging and he reached out to ask us for money. Well, we didn't have any money, so we just healed his legs. And he stood up and started jumping and praising God because for the first time in his entire life, he could finally enter the temple. For the first time, he wouldn't be excluded because of his inability to walk. And well, when he went leaping into the temple, people definitely noticed. So we took advantage of the opportunity and told them that it was the power of Jesus that had healed this man. And the people were amazed, and many of them believed and wanted to join us. But you know, the religious officials, you know how they are. They really were not happy with what was going on. And you know, they think our ideas are too radical and that we're all a bunch of heretics. And so they threw us in jail. But they didn't really have any real charges to hold us. All we'd done is help this guy and tell people about Jesus, so they had to let us go. But they warned us to stop speaking out about Jesus. Well, we told them we will never stop speaking out about Jesus. We will never stop speaking out when we are called to speak. Only God can stop us from speaking. What a tale to tell. Can you imagine? You do an extreme act of kindness and compassion toward a fellow human being and get arrested for it? Well, historically, this is not an anomaly. Doing the right thing is often illegal, or at least more often than we would like to think. It was illegal to hide and aid runaway slaves in America, but many Christians and others did so on the Underground Railroad. It was illegal for Germans to hide Jews during the Holocaust, but we know people did it anyway. And this year in the United States, people have been arrested for providing food and water to undocumented immigrants so that they won't die in the desert. All these people were willing to take huge risks to do what they believed to be right. And Peter and John and the first members of the church were no different. Now, if I were the church member that Peter and John were reporting back to, my first response would probably have been, "Thank God you're okay. Now, why don't you lay low for a while and get some rest? It is clearly too dangerous for you to be out there." But no, that is pretty much the opposite of what the people actually do. Their first response is to join their voices together in prayer for greater boldness. "Why are the leaders and rulers plotting against us, God?" they say. "God, you see the threats they are making. It's scary. Empower us to speak out in spite of them. Give us great boldness to speak your message to the people and give us the strength to continue your work that has been started." And bam, once again, they are filled with the Spirit and empowered to continue to speak boldly in the name of Jesus. Filled with new strength, they speak God's word to the people, to the religious leaders who would rather have them stay silent, and even to the political authorities. They will not be quiet, and they are in it together. That's part of what it means to be a member of a church community. It means you have people around you who are committed to standing by you when you are called to do hard things. It means having a community that surrounds you when you come running back like Peter and John and say, hey, the Spirit in me, we were making a little bit of chaos this week, and we could use some prayer because we are exhausted. We really need some support. And the church community comes around and prays for strength and boldness and courage so that you can continue to shake stuff up with Jesus. This is what the early Anabaptists did. They shook stuff up with Jesus during the Reformation. With the support of each other, they came together to follow Jesus the best way that they knew how. They called out the corrupt church practices of institutional church, saying, hey, church, we can do better than this. And although they were one of the smallest groups during the Reformation, they still impacted the church and the world. If they hadn't, we wouldn't be sitting here this morning. Just like the early Anabaptists, we at Perkasie Mennonite are small in number, but great in heart. We're a little church that prays every week for peace and love and compassion. And when I look out at all of you this morning, I see those qualities among you. I see the compassion and love that you show each other during times of sickness and struggle and loss. I see the peace in your hearts that enables you to listen deeply and give each other permission to rest. Even this morning when I walked in sick and Leona says to me, why are you here? Because I wanted to be here with you all. I see the love that you have for this church and the compassion you have for people who are hurting, the peace in your hearts that enables you to listen to each other deeply and give each other hope. You feed hungry people. You welcome strangers and children. You visit mosques and synagogues. You welcome questions and doubts. And like the early church, you share your time, energy, and resources with one another and with the community, striving to meet everyone's needs. To me, this is evidence that our prayers for love and peace and compassion are working. The Spirit is moving among us and has given us these gifts as a congregation. And while I believe we should continue to pray for these things, I think we should consider adding prayers for boldness and courage to our list. We can pray for the boldness of the early Anabaptists, that we might speak out when the broader church fails to live up to Jesus' call of love and justice. Boldness to live into the promise of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Courage to live in step with the Spirit and do the hard work of following Jesus together. And I am certain that if we pray for these qualities of boldness and courage as often as we pray for peace and love and compassion, we will begin to see them spring up among us as well. We are already practicing boldness in small ways, maybe even big ways. Long before I got here, Perkasie Mennonite Church was one of the first Mennonite congregations in this area to hire a woman pastor when it was still a very, very controversial thing to do. In a church conference that is not LGBTQ affirming, we have become a welcoming congregation, and we've hosted two public events about inclusion and welcoming practices. In a country divided over gun control, we hosted a civil conversation about guns with doors open to all. Some people thought that was incredibly foolish, especially since we didn't have any security here, but we did it anyway. All of these things took boldness and courage of some sort. Just think what holy mischief we could make together if we prayed for even more. God knows we are at our best and our boldest when we are together, and that we create the most beautiful things when we have the support of community. From the very beginning, God knew that it was not good for us to be alone. That's why God made more than one human. When we come together as a church community, we are reminded it is not good for us to be alone, that we belong together, and that we are part of something that extends far beyond ourselves. We are not alone on our journey to hope or in our struggle for justice. We are surrounded by others who share in our pain and our joy, as together we boldly proclaim God's love and justice and compassion in the world. Now, when those early church members prayed for boldness with Peter and John, they got what they asked for. They were filled with the Spirit and boldly proclaimed the message that God had given to them. But when they prayed for boldness, God also gave them the gift of supportive community. Right after the prayer for boldness, we read that all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that all among them there were no needy persons. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money and the sales and put it at the apostles' feet and distributed to anybody who had need. They were in it together, in the very greatest sense. And because they were so committed to God and each other, they were able to do immeasurably more than they could have done alone. Now, I'm not going to ask you all to go out and sell your houses and all your assets and dump the money at my feet. You do already give generously to one another and to the community. You support college tuition. You give to those among us who have need. You give financial support through the Compassion Fund. It's not the money, though, that's the most important part of this passage, even though it's quite impressive. The most impressive thing is the spirit in which the believers were together. They were all in for each other. They loved each other so actively that they made sure that everyone's needs were met, and together, a spirit of love and generosity blossomed among them. Next week, when we receive new members, you will be invited to respond to their commitment with your own commitment to embrace and walk with them. The commitment reads like this: with the Creator, we celebrate your uniqueness, and we witness to the work of the Holy Spirit within you, who has led you on your personal journey with Christ. As we now receive you into membership in the church, we make this covenant with you as we renew our own covenant with God: to bear each other's burdens, to assist in times of need, to share our gifts and possessions, to forgive as Christ has forgiven us, to support each other in joy and sorrow, and in all things to work for the common good, thus making Christ's presence known among us to the glory of God. As we unite with each other now, may we all be joined with Christ our Lord. Amen. These words describe what it means to be part of the body of Christ. It is a bold commitment to make to one another, and a powerful one. In a world that seems to be tearing itself apart, we courageously bond ourselves to one another. In a culture of greedy capitalism, we practice generosity. Together, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we work for the good of each other and the world. God, give us the courage and boldness to truly live these words today and every day. Amen.